In today's Isaiah reading, God compares his word to snow and rain coming down from heaven. Rain comes down with a goal in mind, one goal in mind: to water the earth. It does not plan on evaporating and going away. It does not plan on being used to flush toilets. Rain wants to water the ground and to bring life, to bring growth, to produce fruit in good seeds. In Boy Scouts one summer at camp, I did a very strange merit badge. It was a vestige from earlier times when America was agrarian. It's only strange to us today because we are alien to that pastoral history of America. But it did serve its purpose, coming out of the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, over farming. The merit badge was called Soil and Water Conservation Merit Badge. And if I did that one, I could do environmental science and then stay seated and do soil and water conservation and not have to walk across camp. And so I did it. And in this merit badge, among many other things, I learned about what is called the hydroponic cycle. So water traveling in a cycle. We learned a song. Water travels in a circle, yes it does. Water travels in a circle, yes it does. It goes up as evaporation, forms clouds of condensation, and comes down as precipitation. Yes, it does. Many things in life are a circle. They are a cycle. You wake up, go to work, you sleep, and then it starts again. You're born, you live. Maybe you get married and have kids. You die. No repeat. Water comes down, grows crops, and whatever's left over evaporates. Repeat. That second one, obviously, is not like the other ones. It does not repeat. And when a cycle is interrupted in God's word, that usually means you've been cursed. Think about this in your daily life. When you can't fall asleep, do you feel blessed or cursed? Well, King David would say he feels cursed in his Psalms. For the Lord gives his beloved sleep. When rain doesn't come, like we had for quite a while, Jeremiah talks about it as a curse on the land, Isaiah as well. And we've seen the after effects of the forest fires, of, I don't know, has your basil plant died? Mine did. And of course, when the rain comes back, it's blessing. Even if it cracks your big tree in half and falls on the playground. But mostly, where we see this cursing is in Genesis 3. When death happens. For us, death is the end in our sinful state. We are cursed, but we have brought this curse upon ourselves by rebellion from God. But hear ye, death is not natural, like I learned in cartoons growing up. Death is not the natural thing that happens at the end of one's life. But for many who live and have lived, it is the end. Our Isaiah reading comes at the tail end of a 15-chapter chunk in which Yahweh has promised many things to Israel. He gives them blessed comfort. He says, despite your exile to Babylon, I will give you restoration. And they're not even exiled yet. They don't even know what kind of grief and heartache they'll have, what kind of droughts will be on their land. But Yahweh says, I will give you restoration in the deserts and wastelands in which you will live. He promises a new covenant of peace, a covenant promise that brings new life past the point of death. Very confusing, but blessed. Yahweh promises that one suffering servant will bear the judgment which the entire world deserves for their rebellion, and all will be called to an eternal feast at which this new covenant of peace will be brought to consummation on the last day. God's words will come down to earth, restore the wastelands, bear fruit, and his word will not return to him empty. One of my favorite Bible verses in the past 2 years. The eternal word, the Logos, as John will call him, will come down to earth and take on human flesh. And in his life and ministry, he will speak healing. He will speak forgiveness of sins, and they will be healed. Their sins will be forgiven, despite Pharisees saying, "Who is this man who forgives sins?" He will, as Luke describes it, bring redemption. And it will look like, and he will use words to describe it, as a bone being set into place after being dislodged for a long time. He will make a broken people and a broken world whole. Lost sheep will be found in the desert. He'll feed them with green grass that only grows because of his word as he preaches and he teaches. But this eternal word made flesh will build Christ's church. This eternal word will send them out. And all those Christians will share his words, create faith, or what Jesus likes to call bear fruit. That Isaiah likes to call bearing fruit. That Peter, James, and John and the other pillars of Jerusalem call bearing fruit. The eternal word made flesh, bread sent from heaven, comes down from heaven and bears fruit. Multiply, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So don't worry if you're bearing fruit. That's good. But this word, this bread from heaven, he's come to inaugurate a new covenant. This covenant of peace that Isaiah spoke of, that Yahweh promised so long ago. And he inaugurates it in his blood. My new testament, my new covenant in my blood. And Christ will pour out his blood for our sins. As this servant suffers on our behalf, just like Isaiah said. But no matter how extreme that suffering was, the people of Israel that Isaiah preached to, no matter how hard their suffering was, no matter how extreme your suffering is, know that Christ has borne it on the cross, taken it upon himself, and died with it. Surely he has borne not only our transgressions, right, but our diseases. When Peter's mother-in-law suffered with fever and Jesus healed it, did he perhaps bear it upon himself and suffer that illness for her? Perhaps. But no matter how extreme your suffering is, know, have peace, have consolation, that Yahweh gets the last word. For his word will accomplish that which he purposes, shall succeed in the thing for which it is sent. His word shall not return to him empty. Do you begin to see why John refers to Jesus as the Word, the eternal Word from the Father? For Yahweh's last word is triumph and victory. It is finished, Christ's last words on the cross. It is finished. All sin is forgiven, and not just in a way that it doesn't mean anything because he waves his hands, but because he paid for it, not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. And Christ rests in the tomb, and then he rises from the dead. The curse on life's cycle is lifted. Death is no longer the end. Death holds no more power, right? O death, where is your sting? The Son who came to earth, lived, bore fruit in his ministry and in his church, died for your sins, and then rose again in victory over them, only to return to heaven. The word returning to the Father, to be crowned and seated at his right hand. And oh, he will come again. He'll come again in about 25 minutes. And then he'll come again when you open up your scriptures and read them to your family or to yourself. And then he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. And this means the curse on the cycle of your life are lifted. Making mistakes and hurting yourself and others no longer means you're finished. Because the Holy Spirit has promised to give you new life, to make you his temple, to make you new. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He will give you new mercies each morning. He will give you strength each day. Let his word have its way with you. And pray, pray, Lord Jesus, that you receive it with joy. Be watchful for the cares of this world, for what the world says is important, which might distract you from this word, so that your fruit becomes unfruitful. Receive his word with joy. Bear fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. It's like he's saying, it doesn't matter how much. But when you bear fruit, it means the good seed of God's word has been planted. The water of God's word has come down from heaven and has watered and nourished that good seed. And the Lord Jesus, by the grace of his Holy Spirit, has given it growth. Glory, hallelujah. Amen.